Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Daniel Silk on the line. Daniel Silk, are you with us this afternoon?
I'm with you.
Okay, I'm just struggling to know if you are being heard or not. Can I get a thumbs up from Craig? I am getting it. Daniel, that's great. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. Didn't think we were going to make it. What a delight to have you, especially in such interesting times. We've been having a hell of a debate online for the past hour about Trump and Biden. I think we are split down the middle. You as a futurist going to put you on the spot. Who's going to win and what is the implication for South Africa?
You know, you never get it right when you're making predictions of elections. You just never get it right, especially in the United States. If you look at the polls, and if I have to rely upon the polls as they are, then I would say Biden has the edge. But that edge is very narrow, and it certainly can hinge on one or two states going in the favor of Donald Trump, in which case Biden won't be the winner. But I'll be staying up certainly for the whole night, and I'll be watching for the next few days, because this is a result that could take some time. Just on your second question, you know, on South Africa, I mean, the United States administration really hasn't had particular interest in Africa now for some years. It hasn't really been a focus for Donald Trump at all. Except in the cases of sort of security cooperation. That's really where the U.S. has been most interested in Africa. And don't forget, we didn't see an ambassador appointed here from the Trump administration to South Africa for some time, for some years after Trump became president. So, I at least that's in place now, should Trump remain. Perhaps the profile of South Africa will increase in Washington. But I think that if Biden does manage to win, there probably will be more of an expansive trade policy with Africa that goes beyond security considerations. So there are some aspects that are important for us depending on which one wins. But we've seen both the Democratic administrations in the past and Republican administrations, both of them either ignore or embrace Africa. So it's going to be a toss-up as to see what the foreign policy is.
I'm going to hop on that word futurist in your title, and I'm going to ask you to jump 3 years down the line and talk to me about what the world will look like if Trump wins as opposed to if Biden were to win.
Well, my first sort of view on that, the big issue for the world from a geopolitical point of view is going to be the relationship between the United States and China. That is the biggest foreign policy issue at the moment, and in my case, looking into the future. I would argue that whether it's Trump or Biden, we will see the United States take an increasingly stronger view on China, be it on trade issues, be it on security issues, be it on Taiwan, for example, that could become the next Hong Kong flashpoint in the next few years. I don't think it's going to make too much of a difference there. On Europe, though, the relations between the Trump administration and the European Union have been poor over the last 3 years or so. In 3 years' time, if there's a Biden administration, you can probably expect that Europe and the U.S. will be back in fashion in terms of cooperative agreements.
Let's look to American domestic politics. In my lifetime, I don't ever remember the United States as polarized as it is currently. Another 4 years of Trump, is there any chance, if he were to win it, that he would start trying to pull people together instead of splitting them apart? And I'm thinking racially, I'm thinking white supremacy, I'm thinking all those issues.
Yeah, look, I'm a regular visitor to the U.S. It's been increasingly polarized for years and is reaching really a climax. And you see that today. I mean, there's a wall has gone up around the White House to protect from potential demonstrations. The streets of New York and Los Angeles are boarded up. Most of the major retail outlets have boarded up their shops in anticipation of some sort of electoral violence. I mean, these are remarkable scenes, and it's indicative of that polarization that there is. Whoever wins has to bring the country together and has to avoid the kind of inflammatory language and inflammatory rhetoric that we've certainly seen on the campaign trail and even before the campaign trail. So I do think that's the real challenge from a domestic point of view in the United States. Yes, there's the economy. Yes, there's healthcare. Yes, there's dealing with COVID. But there's a deeper issue in the United States of bringing the disparate parties and views together. And that's what's going to be critical in terms of that post-election leadership.
I must say, I think to a certain extent, those who accuse the press of fanning these flames do have a point. Think of the number of articles that I've read over the past week about Trump not being prepared to give up power were he to lose. Seems to be a bit of irresponsibility on the part of the press, don't you think?
Well, I think you've got to look to see what the president says himself. I always say to people, you know, look at the Twitter feed of President Trump. Look at the speeches that he gives, and you'll get an indication of how he thinks without the filtering of news organizations like CNN or the New York Times, for that matter. And there has been indication from the president that this is an election which he may well decide to dispute in part. But of course, he cannot dispute the election if the result is pretty clear. So, you know, I think one has to, you know, wait for the indications tonight, certainly. The key will be to watch Pennsylvania, Michigan, for that matter, Florida as well. These states, if they are clearly defined in terms of who's going to win, will probably prevent the president from taking the matter into the legal terrain. So I think that's what's going to be clear. He's not going to contest an election that he obviously hasn't won. The obviously part is the key issue that we will be watching tonight.
Daniel Silk, as always, thank you so very much. I'm sorry I feel cheated that we messed up our crossing over to you due to technology issues. I feel cheated of the time, but nevertheless, thank you for the input that we got from you this afternoon. Super valuable.
Thanks so much, and we'll speak again.